The Word of God is not just there for us to read, try to remember some things and quote some scripture at people to show how smart you are. Not at all. Okay, and too many people, that's the only thing they use it as, another book in their life. The Word of God is an instruction book. It is the basis and measurement for all that we do. It is the answer and the guidance. It is also the evidence to show us where we're at versus where we should be. It's there for us to use. Now, the reason why so many are confused is because we're not going by the Word of God. We read certain parables, we read certain instruction and commands that Jesus gives, and we tend to just ignore it. I'm going to give an example today of one that after he says this and he's given the example, now we have instruction and evidence. And I'm going to give you that evidence of how the Word of God puts that into place. Pay attention and let's use this with other things in our lives. Go to the Word, use it as your guidance, as your instruction, and stop playing the victim. The name of this Order My Steps is Broad versus Narrow. Now, there are only two paths in life, each with one of two outcomes. That's it. Everything in your life, every decision you make is going to fall under one of these two paths, if you like it or not. And this comes from the Word of God. We get this from Matthew 7, 13 to 14. He first gives the answer. Enter through the narrow gate. Remember that. Very important. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, he gives us the answer, then he gives us the choice. One thing I'm hoping you pay close attention to, there's two things in this choice. The gate is the chosen way in. Okay, remember that. That's the way of life I'll choose. Now, explain that. And the road is the path taken once in. He's also letting you know the choice you make will dictate the road. The path. Many try to walk, and within their walk, they think at times they're walking the right road. But they did not initially choose the right path, so the answer is no, they have not chosen the right road. This is not a here and there choice. This is a life choice. So the gate is where I'm going to say who I'm going to please. In fact, what explains that even more, it shows that life purpose is what dictates that entrance and path. What is my overall life purpose? You have a lot of people that play Christian at convenient times. They'll try to apply it when it appeases them, but there's other aspects of their lives that are just too important for them to apply God to, right? And they don't realize they chose the wrong gate. He shows it here in Galatians 6, 7 through 9. He says, do not be deceived. Once again, deception is a choice. So this is a command for me not to allow the deception to come in. A lot of times when we play that we don't know, it's because we didn't search it. We didn't truly go to God and say, hey, I need clarity on this. We just accepted it based through our own intelligence. But if we're being honest, we've added our own desires. That's why he says God cannot be mocked, because you may explain something to me. I may get it, but I'm not God. Do you understand? You may explain it to a family, you may get a group of friends. And they go, I see where you're coming from. Understand, I don't care if 50 people, 500 people see where you're coming from. If it's not where God is coming from, you're going the wrong way. And those 500 are going the wrong way also. So then he goes into it. A man reaps what he sows. Okay, the sowing or the planting is that choice. Okay, we like to make it think, well, I planted this here and I planted that. We like different actions. But the overall, none of this is talking about at moments. This is talking about the overall purpose. It's going to affect every aspect of everything you do. And so he says, a man reaps what he sows. So what did you plant? Did you plant for one thing? You're going to then live for that one thing. That's why he says, if I enter through that narrow gate, then I did something here. And if I enter through that broad gate, then I did something here. And watch what he says we do. In verse 8, of Galatians 6. He says, the one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. Now, did y'all get that? He says, the one who sows to please the sinful nature. That's what I'm saying. It's purpose. What was your reasoning for your life? What was your life purpose? Well, I want to please me. And even if you want to please others, everybody else, sinful nature. If I'm pleasing a person, even as a pastor, if you're trying to please me, okay, and I'm trying to please God, I'm telling you, stop trying to please me and please God. But there are people who follow people and want people to be happy. And as long as those people are happy, they're still pleasing the sinful nature. And he gives you the ultimate outcome from that nature will reap destruction. To you, it may be wholesome. To you, it may be great, but you're still headed for hell. That's destruction. But he says the one who sows to please the Spirit from that Spirit, from the Spirit, will reap eternal life. These are not momentary things, life choices. Do you understand that? You choose the right gate. I have to raise my child to choose to please God. Unfortunately, we raise our children to recognize an element of God, but to live their lives. You think you're straddling both. Anybody who just has elements of Christianity in their walk has chosen the broad gate. Get this? They have sown to please the sinful nature. The two can't connect. Pastor, how can you say that? Because the broad gate leads to destruction. And it's called broad because it gives you a whole lot of variety. But narrow lets you know there is no, it's either Jesus or not, period. So lately we've been teaching this way where people live for Jesus when it's convenient and they don't when it's not. Let's look at some examples, okay? And I've taken certain things of life that we all somehow attach to and have to make a decision. And your overall life entrance purpose is going to dictate what you do in here. First of all, let's look at marriage. If you have chosen the broad life, this is what your marriage and how you deal with marriage is going to look like. You're going to have sex without marriage. These are people that try people out, sleep around, or have not gotten married, but they're still sleeping together. That's that group. Married, divorced people who get married and divorced like it's just an option. You know, marriage is not sacred to them. It's something they're going to do. They marry whoever you want, which you may go, well, pastor, what's the matter with that? Well, then you marry same sex, you different religion. In other words, they're unequally yoked, clearly, but you still marry them because of you. Who are you pleasing, God or yourself? And only those in a marriage have to honor that marriage. What does that mean? I'm talking about those people who are not married, but then mess with people that are in marriage. And I'm not just talking about those who have affairs with people in marriage. It includes those, don't get me wrong, but this also includes the in-laws that don't understand the sanctity of marriage. This includes the friends that tell that person, you don't have to listen to him. You don't have to do anything for her. The ones that get in the way. This includes them as well. When you see them acting, I don't care what church they go to, they've chosen a broad road and they're headed for a disaster. Because what it's going to look like to the Christian is they're going to show, they're going to honor it, they're going to stand firm on it. That's between one man, one woman. Sex was made for marriage only. It's not one of those, well, we're going to get married anyway. Once the sex, I'm married. I have to accept it and have to go through it. I can't go later and go, well, we're not married. Unmarried must respect the marriage of others. So if you have friends, the minute you see something going on that's separating the two, you better be the one that's helping them get back together. Not, this is my boy or this is my girl. You understand that? You do what you can for the sanctity of marriage. And don't get me wrong. If there's abuse or anything going wrong, you still work with that within the boundaries of God. Divorce and remarry only because of infidelity. That's the only thing allowed. If they cheat on you, you're able to leave and remarry. If you're in an abusive marriage, and I say this to the women especially, you can leave. You just can't remarry. But by all means, don't stay in an abusive marriage. But you still can't remarry. You understand that. I know you think it's unfair. I get it. But we're honoring God. That's the rules he put in place. How about worshiping God? Churches give variety and people want variety. You hear what I just used? The word variety. I want options. I want to enjoy. I don't want the message to be too long. And you have these itching ear churches that cater. So the people that are on the broad road, and we're talking about Christians here, okay? Because, of course, unbelievers are always on the broad road because that's all they know. But we talk about Christians and their worship God, when they worship God the way they want. And you'll hear them almost, I hear people, and they'll criticize something that they'll call sinful. And I think I was saying it in the one sermon in the past, but they'll be living in that way. There was a podcast of some sort, and I guess the woman really was pushing her Christianity, and she was mad at a woman who openly said she was having an affair with a married man. And she was really adamant about it. And she just starts speaking and saying, if you're a Christian, you know that's wrong, and that's this and that, and blah, blah, blah. Unfortunately, the same woman is in a relationship that she is not married. But wait, what just happened? Where is she getting her rules, and why do only certain rules count? You don't base it on how you feel. In fact, your feeling is going to twist you the wrong way when it comes to worshiping God. God doesn't care as long as you worship him. Right. And what I mean by that, you'll see these people think of different ways. And this is why you have almost sin based churches. I know today, because of how conservatives have been treating the homosexual community, we automatically accept them and their worship. I'm sorry, you can't worship him with sin. Now, don't get me wrong. Those that beat up that community instead of loving and ministering to them, you have a bad ministry. There's many out there that hate them, and then they hate other things that are not even wrong, like race. Like rights, I go down the list. Still not Christian, still broad, still headed for hell. We can't worship the ways other worship God. I'm sorry, we can. So we'll go to other religions, and you'll see us infiltrate and add that same thing or add the same process in our form of worship, even though God clearly tells us not to. And you live life to fulfill you to worship God. In other words, as long as I feel, then I worship. I've encountered this with more Christians, and no Christian knocks this. We don't go, wait, how? Is this right in God? Because we don't have any fear in God. So for the narrow road, you must worship in spirit and in truth only. So your worship, you'll be able to solidly show in God's word, because that's spiritual and that's the truth. That's it. You give me some other nonsense of I did this and I felt this and I seen this and we got together and nature said that, all that stuff. I don't see that with God. You're now headed in the wrong direction. We must offer ourselves to God his way. His way. Yeah, remember in Romans 12, where it makes that clear, right? We're going to talk about that, but that's important for us to know that. We don't mimic other religions' way of worship. Because it's an abomination to them. There's a lot of stuff that we do that by sight may seem, wow, why aren't we doing that? All right? Well, God already told you it's an abomination. Immediately you go, well, I can't do that. And just do what the Bible says, not adding to or taking away from. Offer you to live for God. You say, I am going to do this. Not, well, God, I'll do this as long as you. There is no deal here. It's you offering. That's why it's called a sacrifice, right? You ultimately know what you're getting in return, but initially you may not feel it. You may not see it. I put verses, hopefully you see in all these, to back these up. And you can search for other verses to see if it's solid and sound, okay? I encourage you to check it. Never just take anybody's word for it. You want to take the word for it. Look at daily provisions. All these are life things that we all got to go through. So economy can be good. Economy can be bad. You can make a lot of money. You can make very little money. Health problems can come in. Situations can come in to really hit how you provide and are provided for. So first of all, making a lot of money. I hate to say it. This is why this group is so much in trouble, because their God is their money, right? Oh, they'll go worship God, but their money, man. That's the thing they maintain. They make sure they're good, and they'll even make sure they're good at the expense of others. And they really think, because they go to some church that endorses this, they're headed to heaven. They'll give it no matter how it happens. We'll jump on crooks that we know are crooks, like drug dealers and somebody who robbed something. Absolutely. But you got a lot of industries that made laws, pushed certain things to harm hardworking people while you make more money. Hell, they're headed to hell. Do all that is possible to keep the economy great. Now, understand that, because we'll go, well, Pastor, what's the matter with that? Because that terminology is usually only affects certain people. Right? If I have a whole lot of money and I just don't want to lose my money, that's fine, not to desire not to want to. But when I understand I make a whole lot of money and there's people out there working and they're not, don't I want to give? And even if I don't want to give, God tells us to give. But no. We look out for us. I have a certain lifestyle I want to live. There's a certain car I want to drive, a certain place I have to live, certain clothing I want, certain. We have that mentality. And we want God to do it, though we're watching others. We may do some good stuff on the side, but who are we still pleasing when we do that? Mostly invest worldly, some heavenly, right? We will look at the stock market. We'll look at our 401ks. We'll look at stuff that we know there's a return that we can watch on our computer and care about and worry and all this other stuff. However, you give a little bit to the church. You give a little bit to those who are struggling. And you either trust in God, but you rely on self. That last line is a lie. You can't do both. I can't say I trust in God while I'm relying on self. And the way you'll know that is work is your master. Right? Your craft, your bank account, what you make. Trusting in God, you'll see me do stuff that God says, even though I'm losing in a physical sense. So looking at the narrow, you're going to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. He is the provider. That's the ones who show that. Remember, he says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all this will be given to you. Now, if a person has a lot of money, they're going to think in their mind, well, I already got this. Not realizing, no, you seem to have it. At the moment, a time's going to come where you're going to be challenged and you're not going to be able to because you've been leaning upon yourself. The version of righteousness, you'll watch these people follow wrong laws, wrong policies, wrong things. In our country, yes, I don't care whichever thing you follow, they're all this. They're all against seeking God first in his kingdom because their righteousness is wrong. Their leadership is wrong. Everything is wrong. But you'll see people wholeheartedly still doing this. Value and treasure heavenly things, never worldly things. Right? You're going to value and treasure heavenly things. Your purpose will be with what you value. He makes that very clear. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. That's giving you a warning of whatever you value, that's going to be your purpose. And remember, we're talking about an entire life purpose. And I'm going to show you one that you may not realize is very big and usually misled. Let's say I have my children. I love my children and my grandchildren. If I make them the purpose, it sounds noble, but it's very dangerous and very misleading. You go, but Pastor, I love my kids. No, you'll only love them when you apply love to them, and God is love. When I apply my version of love, it is not love. And Satan's going to use them to get me and them away from God. You'll make decisions, you'll make choices, you'll raise them in such a way based on feelings and desire, not based on God, if you're being honest. You understand this? You know, and you want to make for them their provision, God. But this is why when people get in and people vote and people make decisions and people do this, they do it because God's not their provider. Watch how people act. Pay attention on how people are, and it tells you a lot. Remember, evidence. It gives us evidence. And are we using it? How about dealing with our enemies? Everyone has them in one form or another. How do you deal with them? Well, first of all, if we're being honest, revenge. In fact, Christians still do revenge even on people that are not their enemies. Maybe somebody that harmed you and I'm going to stop speaking to them. I'm going to harm them just so I can come back. Well, remember when you did this to me? All of this is demonic. When I make it about me, when I change because of what you did to me, I have to question my Christianity. I'm not saying you're going to feel a sort of way, but remember, your feelings are just a thermometer. Keith, where are you at in reference to where you're supposed to be? There are people who say and do things that irritate, anger, and frustrate me. The first thing, if I mess up and go to them about what they did to me, based on me, I'm already causing a problem. But when I represent God and I realize, Keith, is this about you? or is this a flaw in them? How can I help them when I'm making it about me? And then I react to harm them. Now I'm just on the bad side of God. Get them before they get you. You have the others that just realizes somebody and you know they're going to. And instead of putting up the godly protection that God puts in place, you go on the attack. It wasn't meant for us to go on attack. We do things to harm them before they can harm us. There's nothing wrong with me protecting myself. Do you understand that? Everything wrong when I'm trying to harm them. You completely avoid them. Well, now, Pastor, I'm not supposed to do that. Remember, we're supposed to minister to the world. We're supposed to make ourselves a slave to everyone. Where we mess up is, once again, we mix. We mix our trust with people. We mix our desires, our outcomes with people. And when they don't fit us, then we're mad. You understand that? Okay? But no, I'm supposed to minister to. Romans 12 at the end of it even shows how I'm supposed to deal with them, which means I'm still going to be around them, but I truly understand. What you don't realize, there's more enemies you have in your life than you realize. But if you look at it through the wrong eyes, you won't know it until the attack happens. Okay? Once again, if it's about you, you may miss it. You're going to miss it. How about love and pray for them? They'll still do it. People will still have that mode with there, and that's good. But if it's not based on God, you're just going through the motions because you're doing it based on you. In a nutshell, when it deals with our enemies, and these are people that are actually trying to harm us, he says very clearly, do not repay evil for evil. He's already acknowledging what happened to you was evil. He's not denying it. But he said, I don't want you to respond with evil. He says, instead, react with kindness and love. I'm going to show something totally different as if they did something for me. If I was living for me, my reaction would be how much I appreciate what you did for me. But then it's all about me. However, if I react because of what God said, I don't care what you do, you're always going to see love. Not these people who act like they do it and then they come off passive aggressive. They come off in a way sarcastic. And that's not what he's talking about. I mean, you're going to show true, sincere love. Revenge is sacred. You'll be everything in your way not to allow this. I tell married couples this. When y'all do those little silent treatments, those little side things to get back at them instead of the communication, you took away something sacred in an institution of marriage that's sacred. Everything is sacred, and here you go allowing your emotions to come in for you to react. Think about it. Relationship with the world. As much as we talk about this, it's still disturbing how many Christians still have the wrong relationship, not realizing it is a complete open door to hell. When you partner with the good part of the world, that's what some people will say, right? I'll ask the question, and you can use the Bible, where is the good part of the world? Now, the Bible already lets us know there is no such thing. But some believe it, and this is why some people choose certain groups as being good groups and bad. And you have to lie to make that work. History has shown us, right? We'll show some people as being the wholesome, great people, and other people being downright evil. And then when you get to see true history, you're like, but wait a minute. I thought they were wholesome, and they were bad. And we buy it. In fact, we reach for it. We want it. Do you notice that? We expect it. We tend to honor our country as you honor God. Where did that come from? Because we'd like to think, because a lot of us were born in the days where that was always a thing. But I came from countries wanting you to follow them no matter what. You look at any history, all countries are downright evil. I mean, beyond evil. Because they live for fleshly things. They don't live for godly things. You can't pick one country that is a godly country. But they want you to think that, and then we naively think that. Right? We work on making the world a better place. That sounds wholesome. Show me where Jesus said that. That's the problem. When we keep doing things that God didn't say, and we say we're doing it in the name of God, that's called a waste of time. That's called mocking God. What did I tell you to do? Right? What did I tell you to do? I told you to clean your room. And you come in here and paint it? I didn't say paint your room. I said clean your room. But I thought, I felt. Isn't that how we do it? It's not how it's supposed to work. And we revere our home country. That's somebody who may live somewhere, but their culture. I come from this way, and I come from that place, and my heritage is this. And we'll make an honor that we are very, it's very sacred to us. Major problem. I'm not saying to bash it. You give God the glory where you came from because it's where God allowed you to come from. But I glorify God. And be careful that it never becomes part of your purpose. But the Bible makes clear we are not to love or partner with the world at all. So then why are so many Christians still registered some part of that world in name of their country and they'll hold true? And then you sit there and listen to them. You just listen to people that are part of these organizations, part of these political groups, and they're very firm and they're very holding tight to them. They won't say out loud when their group is doing wrong, oh man, but they'll preach it to the world when the other group is. That's not a hypocrite. So you're partnering still. When you endorse, when you accept, when you turn away from instead of fighting for, that's you. The only country we revere is heaven, because that's the country we're from. You look at the rest of the world and go, this is horrible. And you know the minute you start befriending and partnering. You got churches there trying to do this. I went to the government. I'm the ambassador to the government, heard one minister say. How are you ambassador with the devil? Explain that. Only heaven. Let's look at desires. We've had the ministry on desires, dangers of desires. And if you don't get this, the reason why you don't get this is because we like being pleased. Human, fleshly, is I like it to feel good. I like when you have that moment. There are people who are artists that are making music and making movies and making paintings that make you feel good. And those same ones can make movies, make music, make paintings and things like that to make you feel bad. They really know how to do it. You have to recognize that and just recognize how dangerous your desire is. When I hear a song that makes me feel a certain way, it doesn't make me go bash the music. It makes me recognize me. Keith, do you see how dangerous that is? We like to make it because when you listen to this type of music, it's going to make you want to do this. It may do that to some people, but it's not the music. It's that person. Right? I'm not bashing how they feel. I'm bashing them giving in to how they feel instead of going, ooh, that song's dangerous to me. Get this. So the ones on the broad road, they guide, and it must be from God, right? What I mean by that is I'll let my desires, and immediately I just feel the Holy Spirit telling me is what they'll say. How many times have we blamed something on the Holy Spirit that's not from the Holy Spirit? I've seen people get married because of their desires and blame it on God. I've seen people make decisions and then blame it on God. I've seen people treat people a certain way and then blame it on God. They're going to have to answer to God, and God's going to be clearly say, where did I tell you this? We tend to pursue them with the mindset of you only live once. There are many people who think they're missing something. I know what God said, but I desire. So I'm going to pursue what I desire. We make them a priority, and that's why we look for a church that'll cater to it. Please cater to me. We make sure you at least get some of them. So these are the people that try to straddle the fence. Right? I got you, God. I'm going to serve you, God, but I got to have this. Those are the people that just, you watch them and you're like, what just happened? Wait, what just happened? Life, their life is kind of mixed. Now, they are Christian. They're good people here, but man, but they have this other life over here. There's other sides of them. Once again, you're still on the broad side. He wish you were hot or cold, not in between. And you live hungry for what you desire. Pay close attention to them. They get hurt real quick. Their emotions are stronger. Things will react. Now, the emotional side and desires are going to exist. It's how you respond to them. But what does the Bible say? The ones who are going through the narrow realize that we are to do nothing based on how us or how we see it. That verse is very clear. Do nothing out of desire or selfish ambition or vain conceit. That means do nothing based on what you want and do nothing based on how you see it. Those can factor in very little, but the more you get to know them, and this thing that really made me scared of me is when I really looked at a situation and an outcome, I always went, but how do I truly see it? Keith by himself, and what did I want out of it? And most times than not, it wasn't in line with how it's supposed to be, which means my flesh is not in line with God. Which I didn't expect it to be. But you got some people that really think they're that way. They walk around really thinking, because I'm so holy, I'm in line with God. And you'll watch them being some of the most wicked people doing some of the most wicked things. You see, a true Christian denies self for Christ. He makes that very clear. He said he must deny himself. We are to live content no matter the situation. That's part of our Christian walk. Part of the purpose is it won't change me. Watch a person when they lose something and how they act. And I'm talking about a substantial something in their life, how they act. I'm not saying how they feel. I'm saying how they act. Desires are only done within God's boundaries. There are certain things he allows us to happen that doesn't do anything to mine or others' salvation. I'll understand how to use those things. I'll be very careful on how I place those things. We got two more we're going to use. Freedoms. I can do what I want when I want to. Now, God provides freedoms, but he's letting you know you're going to have to pay for them eventually. Know what you're doing. What I do is my business. Deal with it is what we want to tell others, right? Not realizing if what I do is a stumbling block, I'm automatically guilty if I don't acknowledge it. How many Christians go out and pay attention to how they're dressed, how they treat people, how they talk to people, how their lives are? Or do we go, you know what? I don't care. You live to make you happy, though it may affect others. I was watching somebody and he had his music playing out of his car and it was, you know, you could just feel it and how acting and all this other stuff. And people do that with this mindset of I'm enjoying it. I couldn't care less how. Right? I couldn't care. I couldn't give a doggone on how it's affecting you because I'm enjoying it. Catch Christians doing that. Better not catch Christians doing that. There are no boundaries. Those are the ones who I do what I want to do and I'm going to do. See, I watch people in marriages and they still live individually. You knew what you were getting into, or at least you're supposed to know. So what's going on? And I'm entitled because my freedoms are God-given, in which I'll see the sacredness in my freedoms, but I don't see my sacredness in my obedience to God. So what does the narrow look like? My freedoms were never meant to cater to the flesh. If my freedom causes someone to fall, I sin. And we are to use our freedoms to live as servants to God. A big part of me having freedoms is me showing the reverence to deny those desires of freedoms. I can do this. Paul said the ultimate, if eating meat causes my brother to fall, I will never eat meat again. The last one we're going to use, the actual getting to heaven. As this study is showing, it's giving us evidence where I'm giving you a clear line. You can do this with other options in the Bible, other things that the Bible shows, that it shows me if I'm a Christian or I'm not. What we do is we search for the ones that show we are so I can ignore the ones that show we're not. Do you notice what we do? Right? The reverent ones, every aspect of everything. I can keep adding things here and you'd always be on the narrow side if you were a true Christian. If not, we'd find a bunch of them that you're clearly, openly living on the broad side. And you don't want to change it. Going to heaven, the ones who are on the broad side like to have the multiple way. They used to love the coexist mindset. So you didn't minister to people. You just respected their religion. That's like me seeing somebody die and say, well, they're dying. I'm not going to try to save them, you know, because, you know, I want us just to live and me living and them dying. We treat people differently. All religions have a way to getting to God, even though Jesus told us the only way. That's why it's narrow. As long as I'm a good, I'm going to heaven. And this is why I've met many people, and the first thing they'll say is, I'm a good person. I get it because they're hurting, and I hate feeling like I'm guilty, and I hate feeling. We didn't talk about feeling. Get an understanding of a true relationship with God, and then you'll understand. Unfortunately, the world is all about feelings, and they'll make you feel better about serving God. I'm entitled because my freedoms, there is no way God will allow so many to go to hell, says who? Did y'all remember the beginning of this study? He says many enter through that road of destruction. Only few find the road that leads to life. Did you notice that? All right. And it's not allowing, it's choice. The second chance we got after Adam and Eve messed up and humans messed up, going through Christ is 100% in our hands. It's a choice we can make, and many are still going to do it. Jesus made clear, and this is the ones you're going to see in the narrow, there's only one way to God, and that's through him. He is the word. If I'm not going through him, I'm not going to heaven. I can't put that any clearer. Only those that do God's will are going to heaven. I told you I gave you some verses to support these, all of these for us to understand and get it. So all of these shows, yep, there's not a lot of options. And he makes it clear, we're going to end it with him making it clear, for us to use this evidence in our lives in order for us to take the right path, to make the right entrance in our life journey. We see that the road to life is narrow because there's only one way. And we see that in John 14, 6 through 7. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other pattern. So if his word, which is him, tells me to do it this way, and I'm not going through him. I don't care how happy it makes you feel. I don't care how many others are doing it. I don't care through your intelligence how you see it. If you're not going through him, you're not getting in. He says in verse 7, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And that's only to those who have seen Christ. If you haven't made the right choice, or you realize you made the wrong choice, and you're hearing this, give God the glory that you now have a decision that you can make immediately. You're going to now narrow that road. You're going to now get out of the path that you're in and go through the path that he gave you the answers to. Started with this, with him saying, enter through the narrow gate. If you have not, leave the gate you're in order to enter the correct gate to have eternal life. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, first of all, thank you so much for your mercy. I know too many times we like to play the victim as if we're really trying and you're too tough and all this other stuff. We've allowed to be misled the way Eve has been misled by Satan. And why are we doing this, dear God? So we ask for your forgiveness, ask for your continual guidance, ask to help us to stay continually focused. With so many distractions that we allow in this world, dear Lord, it's very easy for us to get caught up, but it's no excuse when you have empowered us, when you've given us the instruction, and when you've given us all that we need in order to do it. Once again, thank you so much, dear Lord, and we just give you the honor, the praise, and the glory, and all of these things we asked in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say,